Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Let's bow our head and send our strongest member to the King of Pop, the Prince of Hope, our brother, Michael Jackson.
So I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and what I find interesting is the story of David. He fell in very, very significant ways, but then picked up the pieces and built from there.
I just had a conversation with Al Franken congratulating him. My wife's faith, the Catholic faith, she's there praying the rosary, and in the New Testament, Philippians, is a section to be anxious about nothing, prayer and supplication, faith in God. I'm in the Jewish faith, and God has a plan. I believe that.
The president does say he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman, but he's opposed to the Defense of Marriage Act. He wants to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
A couple of special friends, Bishop Gene Robinson. Where's Gene?
I know we tend to think about marriage as in idealistic terms. We always begin thinking this way. We're going to find our one lifelong love. We're going to court and marry. My wife has been watching The Bachelorette on television. And even in as overly produced and manipulated environment is that there's this kind of idealism that hangs on with the participants there. The one true love, marriage for a lifetime, someone to spend the rest of my life with was a phrase heard often, even on shows like The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. But is it an impossible dream, that one person for a life, monogamy, an impossible dream, an ideal that's nice to aspire to, but no one ever achieves it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin with a short conversation. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. We'll talk about the future of marriage in America. Then we'll spend the rest of the hour discussing end times teachings with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn. It's the beginning of a four-part daily series on eschatology. Today we'll talk about the rapture, or at least what some say is the rapture. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 7th of July. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
There's the senator from Nevada. There's the governor from South Carolina. They have recently both admitted to extramarital affairs, sordid affairs. Some might say monogamy and marriage aren't realistic in the 21st century. What do you think?
Well, you know, look, you've got your county jail that's filled with petty criminals and thieves. Some might say that the norm outlawing thievery is just too hard to keep, and we should really just get rid of that. You know, you've got all your drunk drivers. It used to be many more drunk drivers than there are today, and thanks to the efforts of groups like Mothers Against Drunk Driving and serious enforcement, you have far fewer drunk drivers today than you used to have, and moreover, people who drink and drive are stigmatized and are considered uncool in a way that they weren't before. So I think this Council of Despair is completely ridiculous. If you applied it to any other area of life, you would see that when people do the wrong thing, you still need to call them out on it being the wrong thing and try to either punish it or stigmatize it as the case might be. But, you know, we just definitely don't want it to be considered cool to cheat on your wife. And these guys need to be ashamed and they need to take their lumps. And I think that's completely appropriate. This is what a decent society does with its transgressors. And we're always going to have transgressors. This is something that people of the Nicene Creed understand better than a lot of other moderns seem to today, that not realistic to think that we're ever going to get rid of sin. So the object has to be damage control, no matter what the sin is that you're talking about. So I don't hold with the idea that monogamy is too hard and we should just forget about it. We need to continue to press the issue and to attempt to do the best we can to live up to that very important ideal.
A cover story from Time magazine, Is There Hope for the American Marriage, contained a paragraph I thought you could have written, Jen. It says, there's no single force causing as much measurable hardship and human misery in this country as the collapse of marriage. It hurts children. It reduces mothers' financial security. And it has landed with particular devastation on those who can least bear it, the nation's underclass. Did you find yourself oddly agreeing with the contents of this treatment of marriage in Time magazine?
Well, ordinarily, I would find myself disagreeing with the contents of Time magazine, but when I saw the byline by Caitlin Flanagan, she's been writing good stuff for a number of years, and so I was just surprised and pleased that they had her in there, because you're right, I could have written that, I could have said that. She's a very sensible woman, and I'm glad that they featured her analysis of this thing, because I think she is very realistic in seeing that divorce is a big deal to children, and it may be something that adults think they need and can any harm to us adults we can just sort of brush off and be okay with, but children are devastated by it for a lifetime, and the culture of brokenness and the culture of rejection that we have created is particularly devastating to the underclass. And so I think she's calling it like she sees it. She's right on.
So do the mechanics for us, if you could. Draw the line between point A, that is the collapse of marriage as an institution in America, and the social ills that flow from that collapse.
Well, let's see. How long do we have here, Todd?
Probably not enough time. You're a pro.
Well, the short version is that that children need a mother and a father. That's the short version. And they need a mother and father who are cooperating with one another in relatively low conflict for most of the course of their lifetimes. And so when children do not have that, the first thing that is lost for them is the basic trust that they need to believe that the universe is a stable place that is safe for them and that is fit for their existence and that will take care of them. And so one of the things you see in adult children of divorce and children of single parents generally is a lack of trust and inability to entrust themselves to a life partner of their own, more difficulty getting married and staying married later in life. So it's a very profound thing that happens when you disrupt the basic trust, the basic relationship between a child's mother and father. So that's, I think, the source of everything else, is that we are relational creatures and that parenting is fundamentally about creating relationship. And so when that primal relationship between the mother and father is damaged, it's very difficult for the child to have good relationships with each parent completely independently of their relationship with one another. You know, it's very hard to do that. And so all of the other ills that are sort of more material and that we hear people talk about, they all flow from that. So whether it be that the kids get poor grades in school or they get sick more often, they have more accidents, they have more mental health issues, all of those things to me flow from the basic disruption of that primal bond and that most basic of relationships.
So how is it that, or how do you explain the fact that single parenthood is more or less celebrated, at least in pop culture, that divorce is, while it used to be considered a tragic event, a sad event, is sometimes nowadays, perhaps more and more every day, celebrated in pop culture as well, as much as marriage is sometimes. People are as happy to be divorced as they were to get married in the first place.
Well, I think not to be alarmist or conspiracy theorist about this, but honestly, there have been a group of people who have had marriage in their crosshairs for a long time, and I'm talking particularly about the radical Marxists, who see marriage as a part of the class structure. They see patriarchy as part of the capitalist system. And, you know, I'm not making this up. That goes all the way back to Engels, that, you know, Engels has his own vision of what life was like before the fall. And, of course, the fall didn't take place in the Garden of Eden. For him, the fall took place when capitalism and monogamy came. And they have had it in their crosshairs for a long time that marriage is intrinsically unfair and unequal. It's basically a special case of class struggle. And so they would like to see marriage go away so that everybody can be equal and independent and autonomous, and the children can be raised in some form or fashion by the collective, alternative, which in our day means, for all practical purposes, state-run daycare, you know, and creches and state-run schools. That's what they are after. And so they want to break down the relationship between mother and father, because mother and father taking care of children is the chief competitor to the state taking care of the children. And that's really their goal. Now, lots of people sign on for different parts of the feminist program or the gay rights program or the liberationist movements of various kinds. A lot of people sign on for one part or another and think, boy, that sounds really good. We should, more women should have jobs or more women should go to college. But they don't realize that the good things that are being offered there could be obtained other ways. And there's a much more sinister hidden agenda going on here. And the hidden agenda is for the individual to be completely alone and isolated, facing the state alone. That's the agenda. And I think people need to wake up to that. And breaking down the marital bond, breaking down marriage, is a key part of their program. This is far more disruptive and far more profound than any economic program the Marxists have ever come up with before. And then, of course, we could go on and say that breaking down the family has enormous economic ramifications, because it means the expansion of the state into all kinds of areas that should be private, that could be private, but now have to be paid for with tax dollars. So the whole system is a way of breaking down the difference between private and public, and building up the public sector at the expense of what is private. So kicking the father out of the house is a central feature to this Marxist way of looking at things. And that Marxist way of looking at things has become insinuated into many, many areas of American life, far more than we realize. If you just start thinking that through, and people go to ruthinstitute.org, I have a lot of articles up there that in various ways deal with this topic, just pointing out the ways in which the collapse of the family really is the power and rise of the state. And that's the bottom line right there.
Dr. Jennifer Robach Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. Her book, Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the alleged rapture with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. Stay tuned.
No.